are so excited that you have joined us online today for our July series, Reset. It's the middle of the year, and it's time for our halftime adjustments. We pray that as you listen to this series, you will be challenged and encouraged to refocus and finish this year strong.
Amen. You know, I'm so grateful that He is the God of miracles, but He's your God of miracles. He's the God of your breakthrough. He's the God of your healing. He is the God of your miracle. We don't sing about a God that's just out there in the extremities. No, we sing about a God, and we serve a God who is active on the inside of us, who wants to touch us and change us and fill us each and every day with His Spirit. Amen. Come on, are you ready to hear the Word of God today? Come on, I know you came in ready to worship because you have done an excellent job of that. And I believe today you came here because you believe that God's got a word that He wants to speak to. You came here hungry for more truth. You came here hungry for more of God. And I believe God's going to meet you right where you are today. Hey, every week here at North Point, we like to say this declaration because it allows us to prepare our hearts and our minds to lean into the Word of God so we can receive everything that He wants to say to us. I want you to say it with me today. We like doing this by putting our hand over our heart because that's where this declaration comes from. Say it with me today. I am a child of God. I am loved, adored, and accepted by my Father in heaven. I am forgiven and free. Sin has no hold on me. I am an overcomer, more than a conqueror, full of the Spirit of God. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, and my heart to receive everything that God has for me today. In Jesus' name. Come on, put one more big amen on it today. Amen. As you're seated, I want you to look three people in the eye and tell them the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I want to make you aware that this Wednesday is our first Wednesday. And if you have never been to a first Wednesday service here at North Point, I encourage you to come out. We're going to have a great time of worship and prayer. We will be sharing on one of our house habits. And then we have a free dinner after service. It's grab and go, or you can hang out in the foyer there and fellowship and talk with some people. I encourage you to come. We're also having baptisms, and we recognize some servant leaders. It is a great night of celebration. So I encourage you this Wednesday, if you've never been, why don't you come check out our first Wednesday service. And I also have a great announcement, and that is in 3 weeks from now, on the weekend of August 19th and 20th, Johannes Amritzer is going to be with us again here at North Point Community Church. We are so happy about that. And as you can see up there on the slide, on Saturday the 19th, he's going to be with us for a men's breakfast. Men, you need to go ahead and take out your phone, take out your calendar, or better yet, ladies, go ahead and take out your phone and write it down for the men in the room and say, hey, 9 o'clock, August 19th, you need to be here at North Point Community Church. Johanna is going to be sharing with the men. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a special service on Saturday night. So go ahead and make note of that. He's going to be sharing with us, and then he will be with us for our normal services there on Sunday morning, 9:30 and 11:15. For those of you that don't know Johannes, he is from Sweden. He's been here the last few years, and man, if you have never heard him, don't miss this weekend. You are in for a treat. And if you know somebody who doesn't normally go to church, that's not really their thing, you need to bring them to hear Johannes Amritzer. He's got a tremendous testimony, a great story. And that's who we were in Madagascar with his organization. He's been traveling over Africa for 22 years, and God has used him greatly there. And so make plans the weekend with Johannes. I want you to be here for that. Well, I'm so glad that you are here today because we are concluding our series entitled Reset. our series entitled Reset. You know, sometimes in life, we just need to hit the reset button. We just need a hard reset, and July is a great time for that because it's the first month of the second half of the year. This is a perfect time to make some halftime adjustments as we begin to move into the fall. And as we said last week, you know, January is not a magical month. It's not the only month for change. It's not the only month for new resolutions and new goals. No, if it's worth changing in January, it's worth changing today. Hello, somebody. If it's worth changing in January, it's worth changing today. So let's don't wait until January to hit reset. Let's go ahead and hit reset today. We've been looking at this quote throughout the series, and I think it speaks to me each and every time. And it says this: every sunset is an opportunity to reset. Every sunset, we can hit reset every single day. We don't have to hit it once a year. We can hit reset every single day. And I want to go to Genesis chapter 18 today. Genesis chapter 18. And as we look at this story, we're going to be talking about a man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, God shows up and he speaks to this man and he calls him away from his homeland and away from his family. He says, I want to use you, and out of you I'm going to establish my own people, and you are going to serve me and I'm going to be with you. And he gives him a great promise there in Genesis chapter 12. And so Abraham has begun this journey with God, and we find him in Genesis 18, and God had given him this promise that he was going to have a son and that his descendants were going to be more than the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. But we find him almost 25 years later, and he has no son, no son of the promise. And the Bible says that there were these three messengers that appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18. And, you know, everybody has different opinions about who these three messengers were. We know that they came from God. He refers to them as my Lord. And so some people believe that it was the pre-incarnate Christ was one of the three messengers, as well as some angels. But I don't know exactly who they were, but I know they came from God and they came with a message from God. And they show up, and it's interesting when they show up. They show up in Genesis 18, and the Bible is very clear. It says that Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent, and they showed up at the hottest part of the day. Now, I'm so glad that God includes these little details in the Word of God. You know, he didn't have to include that. The story would have stood all by itself, but it says that they showed up at the hottest part of the day, because sometimes it's during the hottest part of our life. Sometimes it's in the most difficult part of the day whenever God wants to show up in our lives. And I'm so grateful that God includes these little details, because just because it's hot, it doesn't mean that you're alone. Just because it's difficult, it doesn't mean that God doesn't see you. Just because you're facing some adversity, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten his promise that he gave to you. And so it's during the hottest part of the day, and these three messengers show up, and this is what the Bible says, that Abraham runs out to meet them, and he prepares a meal for them, and he begins to wash their feet. And it says, then one man said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Remember, 25 years nearly that they have had this promise with no son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. I will return this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of reset your next. Reset your next. Let's pray one more time. Father, Lord, we believe that you are going to speak to us, that you are going to mold us and make us into everything that you created us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody with faith and expectation said,
amen.
One of the keystone habits or the keystone fundamentals of Christianity is belief in the next. We have a belief in the next life, that there is eternal life, that there is heaven, that we will spend eternity with God. We also believe in the next life here on earth, that we can be born again and God can give us new life, an abundant life. We believe in the next revelation, that God can give us a new revelation of his love, a new revelation of his power, a new revelation of his purpose for us. We believe in the power of the next miracle, that the greatest work of God has not been done in our life up to this point. That's why we always have a growing faith for more, because we believe in the next miracle. But oftentimes, it's so easy for us to get trapped in what is and not see what is to come. So many times we can get trapped in what is, and we are not aware of what is to come. That's one reason that we say the best is yet to come. That's one reason why you're seated. I had you look at three people and say the best is yet to come. That's why we put it at our expectation declaration at the end of every service. And we say together, the best is yet to come, because it reminds me that my current situation is not my final destination. That no matter where I am today, there is a next, and the next is going to be the best. The best is yet to come in my life. It is this belief in the next. And we take this right from the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. In the Amplified Version, it says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. You see, my journey with God demands faith. It demands faith in eternal life. It demands faith in the abundant life. It demands faith for growth, faith for revelation, faith for grace, faith for miracles. It demands faith for my next. What that means is that I have eyes to see beyond the natural and beyond what is to see what is to come or what will be. And the Bible defines faith for us, and it defines faith as this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance." It is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. Those are the things that are divinely guaranteed. And it is the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Your physical senses and your inward emotions will always have input in your life, but we cannot allow them to control the outcome of our lives. Let me say that to you again. Your physical senses and your inward emotions, they will always have an input in your life, but we can never allow them to control the output of our life, because God has called us to be people that walk by faith and not by sight. He has called us to be people that are assured of the things that we have hoped for, and that we have faith in the evidence of things that we have not seen. Your senses and your emotions will tell you that you are not going to make it through this storm, but faith declares over you that there is a peace that is available to you that passes all understanding. Your senses and emotions, they might tell you that you are all alone, but there is faith that declares there is one that sticks closer than a brother, and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You see, faith hopes for the next, it believes in the next, and faith sees the next. But if you aren't careful, you will get so bogged down with the reality of now that you will forget about the faith for the next. Whenever you get weighed down with the current challenges and you begin to lose perspective, whenever you get paralyzed with your present situations and you forget to believe, whenever you get overwhelmed with the ongoing adversities and you fail to look up to God or look forward to the future that He has for you, that's the moment that you know you need to hit reset. You need to hit reset in your life, because if you don't hit reset, then what you allow is repeat. If you don't hit reset, then what you allow is repeat. If you don't reset your faith, then what you will repeat is your fear. If you do not reset your belief, then you are going to repeat your blame. If you do not reset your next, what you are going to repeat is your normal. And God has not created us to live in the same normal fears and the same normal blame and the same normal way that the world lives. Instead, He has given us a special button that each and every one of us can hit, and it is the reset button, so that we can reset our faith and reset our belief and reset our next, so that we can see the life that God wants us to live. And my advice to you this morning is simply this, that you learn to hit reset faster. That's my advice to you this morning, that you learn to hit reset faster. The quicker you can hit reset, the better your life is going to get. Hear me this morning. The faster, the quicker you learn to hit reset, the better your life is going to get. I want you to think about it just for a moment in context of this series. And if you've been here for all 4 weeks, and that's great. If you haven't, I just want to hit just briefly the context of the series. We started in week one by talking about reset your gaze. Reset your focus. Reset what you are looking at. Reset your attention. Why? Because your attention is setting your direction. And so we have to reset our gaze. The next week we talked about our attitude. Do we have to reset our attitude? How do we reset our attitude? We have to engage God on a daily basis. We have to make sure that we are in the right environment. We have to make sure that we are envisioning the right future. And we've got to make sure that we are living in encouragement, that we have the right attitude. We've got to reset our attitude. Then last week we talked about reset your initiative. Reset your initiative. What does that mean? You got to reclaim the power. God has a supernatural power that He wants to give you. We also reclaim that power by taking responsibility for where we are going. We reclaim the power, but we don't just reclaim the power. We also recreate the plan. We begin to recreate the plan. What is the plan? Jesus gave us the plan. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. So we put that plan into practice, and it causes us to have to initiate each and every day the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, day after day after day after day after day. And then finally today, you reset your next. You reset your next. And we started this year talking about your gain is in your again. And I want you to know that even in July, you see, your gain is still in your again. Your gain is in your ability to hit reset again, to reset your attitude, to reset your initiative, to reset your gaze, to reset your next. And the faster you can hit reset, the faster you get to your gain, because the more often you hit reset, the more often you are going to be moving in the right direction, the more often you're going to have the right attitude, the more often you're going to have the initiative you need to move forward in your life, because you are always seeing your next right around the corner. I want you to see this today. The reason many times we don't hit reset is because we feel the shame that's involved with reset. I should have known better. I knew not to do that. I knew not to contact that person. I knew not to go there. I have so much shame in hitting reset. I want to challenge you. Stop seeing the shame in your reset and just see the gain in your reset. And if you saw the game that was in reset, your shame would fall by the wayside. And I'm speaking to you right now from my own spiritual strategy for maturity. This is my spiritual strategy. This is what I have used for the last 21 years for spiritual growth in my own life. I didn't mess up less, I just hit reset more. That is the way that I progressed in my walk with Christ. That is the way that I matured in my spiritual journey. It's not that I messed up less in the beginning. I was just faster to hit reset than most people. And whenever you begin to talk about reset, that shame begins to rise up and say, well, but man, I just prayed about this. I just told God I would never do this a month ago. I just promised God that I would never do this again. I would never go there again. And I've got so much shame. Forget all of that. Put all of that on the shelf. And if you don't hit reset and you don't come back to God, the consequence is you're not going to move forward. You're not going to move in the right direction. You're not going to move with the right attitude. So it doesn't matter what you promised God. It doesn't matter all the prayers that you prayed. You better hit reset in your life if you want to move in the direction that God's calling you. I just discovered the gain in it. I just discovered the gain in the reset. I didn't have to carry the shame with it because I was so focused on the gain that was in it. And it was one of the biggest parts of reset for me is resetting my next. I just live with this philosophy. If I'm not dead, he's not done. If I'm still breathing, that means he's still working. And if he's not done, and if he's still working, then why would I hand my future over to my failure when instead I could hand my future over to the favor of God and the way that he created, what he created me for. And so I'm not going to live my life on the failure of my past. Instead, I'm going to live my life according to the plan and the purpose of God that he has for my future. But here's what you have to believe. If you can say, that sounds good all day long, but here's what you have to believe. If you're going to put this into practice in your life, here's what you must believe. You must believe that there is a next season for you. If you don't believe in your next season, then everything I'm talking about, it is not going to apply to you. You must believe that God has a next season for you. You must believe that God has a next season for you. A series of messages that we did, I believe it was the beginning of 2016. It was the series was entitled Next, and kind of the slogan for the series was, your next thing is going to be your best thing because your next way is going to be God's way. Your next thing is going to be your best thing because your next way is going to be God's way. And regardless of what your last season looked like, God has a next season in store for you. It doesn't matter what your last season was full of. God has a next season in store for you. But you don't get into that season just because you decided to prance into it. No, if you want to get into that next season, you're going to have to press your way into it. You're going to have to push your way into it. This is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He said, I press on. He's trying to tell us there, it's not going to happen without its challenges. But whenever you begin to strain for what is ahead, whenever you begin to press towards the goal, that's whenever you find yourself moving into the next season that God has for you. What is this next season going to consist of? If it's going to be God's way and not our way, what is this next season, this next thing that's going to be my best thing? If I'm going to move into this season, what is it going to consist of? I just want to share with you two things today. Two things that this new season is going to consist of. The first is this, is surrender. It must consist of surrender. Romans 12:1. Says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. He says you ought to present your lives as a living sacrifice to God. You see, in the kingdom of God, the key to going up is giving up. And not giving up in terms of quitting, but giving up in terms of surrendering. Giving up your own ways, giving up your own mindsets, giving up your own opinions, giving up your own perspectives, and surrendering them to God each and every day. We cannot live lives that are led by the Spirit of God if we continue to allow our flesh to dominate our thoughts and decision making. Jesus said this. He said, the greatest among you is not the one who is being served, it's the one who's doing the serving. Well, see, that's a completely different context from the way that we are raised, from our natural way of thinking. We think the one who is being served must be the greater because they have these people that are serving them. Jesus came in and he flipped it all the way around. He said, no, the greatest among you is the one washing the feet, not the one having their feet washed. That's why Jesus said, I have come to serve, not to be served. Jesus was showing us the model. He was turning the world's ways upside down, and we must be willing to surrender our old way of thinking to embrace this kingdom mentality, and there's only one way to go up, and that is to give up. And we don't get to follow God on our own terms. We have to follow God on his terms. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. Then he sat down and he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Everybody say must. Yes. It's not a good idea. It's not preferable. It's a must. You must give up your own way and take up your cross daily. Say daily. That's not a prayer when you were 12 years old. That's not a recommitment when you were 24. That's not coming to church a couple times a year. No, no, no. He says you have to take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up, if you surrender your life for my sake, you will save it. He says you have to be willing to surrender your life on a daily basis. You have to take up your cross on a daily basis. You have to give up your way, your perspective, your mindsets, your opinions. You have to give up those things every day if you want to be my disciple and you want to follow me. You have to follow God on his terms. And that demands surrender. And our complete surrender will always lead to some crucial separations in our life. Whenever we completely surrender, there will be some things that we separate from. The first thing that we have to separate from is our past. When you completely surrender to God, one of the separations that happens is your past. You must surrender your past season before you can enter your next season. Okay, you've got to separate your past season so that you can step into your next season. And I've got news for you. Whenever you come into that next season, you don't get to bring your guilt, shame, and condemnation with you. Because Romans 8:1 says this, so there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And if you believe in faith and you believe in Jesus and you have surrendered your life to him, then there is a next season for you, but you don't get to bring all the junk of 2016 and 2012. You don't get to bring all of that stuff with you into the next season that God has. There is a separation that God wants to do in your life from your past. I tell people all the time when I'm teaching leadership, you have to learn the lesson, but leave the depression. Okay, you don't ignore what happened in your past. It's not like a delete button where you delete, because you learn valuable lessons in your past. You learn some things about yourself. You learn some things about God. You learn some things about the enemy. You learn some things about temptation. You learn some things about anger. You learn some things about these issues. And so you don't just hit delete and walk away. No, you bring the lesson with you, but you have to leave the depression. You have to leave the shame. You have to leave the guilt. You have to leave leave that stuff behind and I take the lesson with me and I move forward into the next season. But God wants to separate you from your past. Some other things that will cause that we need to be separated from, and that's from some people. When you have complete surrender, one of the crucial separations is from people. There are probably some people in your life that you're going to need some separation from. That doesn't mean that you can't love them. That doesn't mean that you can't have lunch with them occasionally. It just means that they can't be the influencers and the advice givers in your life anymore. Because Proverbs 13, verse 20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Walk with wise and become wise. Associate with fools and you will get in trouble. There's some people that you need to walk away from, but there's also some people that you need to walk towards. You need to walk away. You know, it's amazing that the people that are broke want to give financial advice. It's amazing. And you know what's even more amazing than that? People listen. People have been divorced 3 or 4 times and won't give marriage advice. And people want to listen. People got kids that act crazy. And people want to listen about parenting advice. No. Let me tell you this. You want to walk with the wise. You want to find people who you want to be like, and you want to get in their hip pocket, and you want to say, hey, how was your marriage so strong? How did you raise such great children? How did you build a business? Don't go to the person that's had 5 businesses fold and say, will you give me business advice? And they start telling you how to do it. If you want to go to them and say, hey, what did you do wrong? You go ahead and ask them that. Now you can get some wisdom from that. But don't ask them how I should do it. If you want to be wise, you got to get with the wise. But if you want to hang around with fools and you won't let fools to be your influencers and you want fools to be your advice givers, then you can expect trouble in your life. You see, there's some separation that God wants to take place in your life. When you completely surrender, you're going to have to separate from some people. There's another thing you're going to have to separate from, and that's from some pleasures. There's some separation that needs to take place, and that's from some pleasures. There's some pleasures that are trying to starve your soul, and there are pleasures that are just feeding your flesh. They're starving your soul, and they're feeding your flesh. Materialism, prejudice, anger, jealousy, hatred, lust, gossip. These are things that are starving your soul, but they're feeding your flesh. And if your next thing is going to be your best thing, then you're going to have to drop some of these things. You're going to have to walk away. You got to get some separation in your life. And when you just look at the word pleasure, you see the word please right in there. Your pleasures are pleasing you. And God says, if you want to follow me, it's not about your pleasure and pleasing yourself. Now it's about pleasing me. So there has to be a brand new surrender in our lives where we surrender the pleasures, what pleases ourselves, that's holding us back from the next season, that's holding us back from more of God. We surrender those pleasures to God so that we can please him and move into the next season that he has for us. It's a season of surrender, surrendering our past, surrendering some people, surrendering some pleasures. And then here's the second thing. Here's the second thing that our next season will consist of, and it's Scripture. It's Scripture. Your season is going to be full of surrender, but it's also going to be full of Scripture. You need faith for your next. You need faith for your next. You need to fill your life up with the Word of God, because the Bible tells us in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And if I've got to have faith for my next, that means I need to hear the Word of God over and over and over again so that I can have the faith that I need to step boldly into the next season that God has for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul here is writing to his spiritual son Timothy, and this is what he says in verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Wow, the Word of God is there to help us, to correct us, to point us in the right direction. That's why during this time of moving into our next season, we need massive amounts of the Word of God in our life. Why? Because the Word of God washes your mind. It refreshes your soul. It heals your heart. It strengthens your spirit. And you need massive amounts of the Word of God. You need it playing in your car. You need to read it at home. You need to read it at work. You need massive amounts of the Word of God to help push you into this next season that God has for you. But many times I've discovered this whenever I'm getting ready to move into the next season. It's not that I need just massive amounts of the Word. Many times there will be one verse that captures my attention. There will be one verse that captures my mind. It'll be one verse, one promise, one guarantee from God. And it's like that verse becomes a banner over my life. It's like it becomes the thing. It becomes the flag that I wave. It becomes the foundation that I stand on. This one verse, this one promise, as I'm getting ready to move into the next season, it just sticks in my mind and it's there, and it's the banner that exists over my life. Back in Genesis 18, back to Abraham and Sarah and the three messengers from God, and one of them says, let me just remind you of the story. I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself, and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? She laughed silently to herself. She said to herself, the Lord says, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year. Say next. I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. God had a next season for Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90. Nearly 25 years since God first showed up to them with this promise. They've seen none of it. And yet even in their situation, God had a next. In the midst of their doubts, and definitely some disappointments, God had a next. God had a next season for them. And they received a word from God that I believe was not just a banner for them. I believe it's going to be a banner for some of you in this place. They received the word of God that became a guarantee that I know they held on to, and I believe it's going to be a guarantee that you're going to grab a hold of this morning as well when the Lord spoke to them and said, is anything too hard for the Lord? In the midst of your disappointment and depression, is anything too hard for the Lord? In the middle of your pain and in the middle of your loss, is there anything too hard for the Lord? In the middle of your confusion and your frustration, somebody's going to grab a hold of this truth this morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah was sitting in her never, and God was talking about her next. She was sitting in her never. I'm too old. My husband is too old. I'm too tired. I'm not a candidate for that blessing any longer. I could never. I will never. It's never going to happen. It's never going to be what I thought it was going to be. It's never, it's never, it's never. And while Sarah had never on her mind, God had next on his tongue. He said, next year when I come, I know you're sitting in your never over there in the tent. I know you're licking your wounds right now. I know you feel like you've been betrayed and you're forgotten. I know that you feel alone, and I know that you're sitting in disappointment. But while you're over there sitting in your never, God is out here speaking about your next. The next season. The next blessing. The next generation. The next breakthrough. The next miracle. God is talking about the next. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, the Bible is full of people who were talking about their never while God had already planned their next. They were talking about their never from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is full about people talking about, it's not going to work out, it's not going to happen. And God had already planned a next for them. God already had a plan in place. It was already there. And God is wanting to talk about our next, and we're wanting to talk about our never. But you see, you have to believe that there is a next season for you, that there is a next thing that God is wanting to do in you and through you. And that's why this morning, it's time for some of us to hit reset in our life. It's time for us to reset our next. It's time for us to stop talking about our never and start walking into the next thing and the next season that God has for each and every one of us. What's that going to take this morning? It's going to take a new level of surrender. I surrender your past. Might have to surrender some people. You might have to surrender some pleasures. But I left out one when I went through those the first time, because there's something else you're going to have to surrender, and you're going to have to surrender your possibilities. Because what you think is possible, what you think is possible is not what God thinks is possible. Because what you think is impossible, God says it's possible. And here was Sarah saying, I'm too old. I'm too tired. I am past childbearing age. It is not going to happen for me. Never, 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 never. And here God is standing outside of her tent, and God's not interested in her never. God is only interested in his next. And will you believe that when I come here next year, you are going to have a son? The only way that happens is whenever you surrender your possibilities, what you think is possible, and you surrender that to God, and you say, God, I realize that so many more things are possible, because you are the God of miracles. You are the God of the impossible, and I surrender what is possible in my mind to your will and to the future that you have for me. You see, and then you got to grab a scripture. You got to grab a hold of the scripture, and maybe today your scripture is there anything too hard for the Lord? Or maybe you want to grab onto, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Or maybe you want to grab onto the fact that all things are possible to them that believe. Or maybe today you need to grab hold of that, I'm forgetting what is behind and I'm straining toward what is ahead. I don't know what your scripture is, but you need to grab hold of a scripture, and it needs to become the banner of your life, the same way it was for Abraham and Sarah. And they said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At this time next year, God has a next miracle that he wants to do, a next breakthrough that he wants to bring. There's a next season for us, and we are going to have that son. And a year from this date, that was a crying little baby in the tent, because God had a next season for Abraham and Sarah, and God has a next season for you. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to bow your heads. Because it's time for us today to reset our next. Get out of never and move into your next. Stop talking about your never. Start walking into your next. God's got a next season for you. If you're not dead, he's not done. If you're still breathing, he's still working. Here's my question to you this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe He has the next for you? Do you believe? Do you believe that He can heal that hurt so that you can move whole into your future? Do you believe that He can make a way where there seems to be no way? Do you believe that He can make your next thing your best thing because your next way is going to be His way? Do you believe today? And if you say, yes, yes, I believe. I believe there's a next season for me. I believe there's a next in my life. I believe that. It takes us to the new level of surrender. Because if you want that next, you have to be willing to surrender your past. You have to be willing to surrender some people. You have to be willing to surrender some pleasures. And you have to be willing to surrender your possibility. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is for you that you've been saying never about. Well, I want you to listen intently right now. I want you to listen intently right now. Don't let your mind drift in this moment. I don't know what it is that you've been saying never about. I don't know what it is that you've given up on. I don't know what it is that you've thrown in the towel. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that you would have your Sarah moment, that you would laugh and say to yourself, that's never going to happen. I don't know what that is for you. But I know this. God is the God of miracles. God showed up outside of Abraham and Sarah's tent the same way that He's showing up right here at North Point Community Church. God's showing up right now in your life. And He's asking you for an exchange right now. Will you give me your never so I can give you my next? Come on, will you give me your never so I can give you my next? Same way that I did for Abraham and Sarah, I'll do it for you as well. Give me your never, I'll give you my next. Go ahead. Surrender that possibility. Surrender that possibility. Surrender that possibility. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Come on, I want to ask you today. First and foremost, have you ever really surrendered your life to God? Have you ever surrendered? It's the greatest surrender of all. Have you ever called on the name of Jesus? Ask Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Because God wants to give you brand new life. We believe in eternal life. We believe that Jesus paved that way for us. And today, if you say, man, I love what I'm hearing about this next season and this new life. I love all of this. But if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, today's that day. Today's that day. You can access that new life and you can access that new season, but it's Jesus that opens that door for you. And right now, if you say, Philip, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to surrender my life to Him. I want to give Him everything that I am. I want to give Him my future. I want to give Him my past. I want to surrender to Jesus. Right now, if you've never surrendered your life to God, but you want to do that today, I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. I'm not going to ask you to come down forward. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. But if I'm talking to you and you are at the end of yourself and you are ready to reach up and grab everything that God has for you in this new life of walking with God in the grace of Jesus, you've never done that before, today's your day. Come on, lift up your hand right now. If that's you, lift up your hand right now. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Amen. You can put your hands down. Here's what I know in this place today. Here's what I know. I know. I know there's some people with their head bowed right now, and you just need to hit reset. You need to hit reset. You need to hit reset on your next. You got to exchange some nevers for some nexts. You got to surrender. You know right now there's some things that need to surrender. You got to surrender some guilt, some condemnation. You got to surrender some things in the past. You know there's some people that you need to just surrender. You just got to surrender them to God so that you can move forward into everything that He has for you. There's some pleasures that you need to surrender right now. You know it. Even as I was preaching about it, the Holy Spirit was pointing those things out. And you know if my next thing is going to be my best thing, my next way has got to be God's way. And if it's going to be God's way, I've got to surrender some of these pleasures to Him. And there's some possibilities that need to be surrendered today. There's some possibilities that need to be surrendered. And today, if you say, Philip, I need to surrender a never so that I can grab a hold of God's next. It's time for me to reset my next today. It's time for me to hit reset on my next and believe that there is a next season for me. Come on, if I'm speaking to you right now, all over this place, I just want you to lift your hand. You say, that's me. I'm ready to reset my next. I'm ready to reset my next. I've let some nevers creep in, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to believe God for the next thing that He has for me. I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to grab a scripture. I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to grab a scripture. And I'm going to stand on that promise. I'm going to stand on that guarantee. I'm going to put it as a banner over my life. I'm going to speak it out every day. I'm going to quote it every time I wake up and every time I go to bed. I'm going to stand on that word and that promise from God. It's going to begin to define my days and define my life and define my future. I'm going to surrender and get a scripture, and I'm going to move boldly into the next thing that God has for me. Come on, with that hand lifted, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I believe that you are Lord and that you are Savior and that you have a next in store for me. Today, I surrender my past. I surrender some people. I surrender some pleasures. And I surrender my possibilities so that I can have everything you want me to have. I believe that there's a next season, and I'm moving forward in faith and belief into that season. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, as we take a moment right now and sing about the God of miracles, God, I pray that just as you showed up to Abraham and Sarah with the promise, Lord, show up in this place right now. Let there be an exchange of our never for your next, and let us celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness to us as we worship your name in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's go.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.